Download Gundelio for free today and start saving money. Get alerts to hot deals by walking into a gun store. Plus, offers, new products, and videos sent straight to your smartphone. Get your gear for less. Gundelio.com.
All righty, let's do this some more. Tom Gresham here. It's Gun Talk. If you want to know more about what we do, go to GunTalk.com. We also can go to ShopGunTalk.com. And also, if you want to save money on ammo and guns, you want to find stuff, GunDelio.com. GunDelio, GunDelio.com. Now, if you're a longtime listener to the show, you may remember the great call we got some years ago from the fella. He may have been helped by substances, who knows. But he was describing to us the project that where he and a buddy are working on building bulletproof clothing because they're making them out of leaves. And I asked him how it worked, and he described it. He says, well, it's kind of scientifical. And so that became a catchphrase and actually an ongoing meme around here. But then this story breaks. An ultra-thin material can stop bullets by hardening like a diamond. Researchers use the world's strongest material to create a film that can harden like a diamond upon impact. Researchers from the City University of New York have figured out that if you stack two layers of graphene, the new material it can harden to has diamond-like consistency upon impact. Maybe they could make body armor and everything else. And of course, as you might expect, the graphic that is used for the story shows a mesh of this stuff stopping, wait for it, yes, a complete loaded cartridge. Again, same thing as always, right? Oh, Chris Chang is a buddy of ours. You know him from Top Shot show from some years ago. Professional shooter, a guy that actually came out of the online informational world. Chris, how are you, sir?
Hey, I'm doing great, Tom.
Yeah, I know you're listening to this and going, oh yeah, another graphic that shows a full cartridge flying through the air when you shoot it, right?
I got a great chuckle out of that one. Oh, man.
It's like, yeah, you know, you go, oh, okay. Now, you were at, was it Google?
Yeah, so I worked at Google for 5 years, and
right?
Yeah, I was a self-taught amateur and decided to throw my hat in the ring and shoot against some of the best pros in the world and ended up beating them against all odds.
How do you do that, to going from I've not shot before or shot very little to saying, oh, yeah, I could take on the best shots in the world?
So I think it's sort of twofold. I think the first thing is, you know, whenever you want to accomplish something ambitious, you have to have that vision in your own mind, right, that you can accomplish this very, very tall feat. The second part then is you have to sacrifice your time and money and resources, right? And you got to go train, and that's what I did. And
don't tell me I have to work at it. Jeez.
Yeah, I know, right? No one's entitled to participation trophies or any kind of accolades. It's, yeah, you definitely gotta work at it. And you know, a gun's like any other tool, where you've got to put in tens of thousands of repetitions if you want to learn how to use and operate it safely, not just safely, but if you want to compete at some of the highest levels,
right,
you've got to get those trigger squeezes in. You've got to practice your form and the fundamentals.
You know, and it's getting training and it's practicing. And I was talking earlier in the show, and you never pull a trigger without having a purpose behind it. What am I working on today? Is it trigger? Is it sights? Is it recovery? Is it recoil? But to just sit there mindlessly throw rounds downrange isn't really helping you, is it?
No. Like you said, you have to focus and you have to understand the purpose of every action. And for me, when I was training, you know, I read a lot of blogs, a lot of books, and watched a lot of videos from other peers and colleagues who have, you know, definitely become masters of the craft, and learning how to apply certain frameworks on top of what I'm doing. So when I'm pulling the trigger, it's more than just pulling the trigger, mm-hmm. right? There's a whole lot going on that dials down to just where your finger, like which part of your finger are you placing on the trigger, and are you pulling that trigger flat and straight back? Because if you aren't, right, then you are increasing your chances of pulling or pushing your shot, you know, left or right. So there's a lot of minutiae mm-hmm. to learn and to understand. And, you know, when I was a more novice shooter, Like, I think, you know, I mean, everybody starts off as a novice, and sure, you understand, I pull the trigger, it goes boom, and it, you know, and it shoots a bullet. And that's sort of what I was when I was, you know, a more novice shooter, but studying these finer points and bringing science, physics, logic, and more order to the way that I trained was a big key to my success.
It's funny you mentioned where you put your finger on the trigger, and that differs for different guns. I was at Gunside, the introduction of a new pistol, and, you know, I'm an experienced shooter, and I am shooting low and left. I'm going, I know I'm not yanking the trigger. And one of the instructors comes over, and he said, what's going on? I said, well, you know, I mean, I know I'm doing really good trigger squeezes. I know I'm not anticipating. He says, put your finger a 32nd of an inch more into the trigger guard and use that part of your finger. I did that, and all the shots went right onto target. I went, holy
amazing.
Cow. Just that little, just what you said. It's like, and that's going to be different for each pistol you shoot.
Yeah, and it's different for each pistol, or, you know, if you let some time lapse, you know, for instance, I'm not shooting as frequently as I used to. And
right.
Every time I pick up a gun, like, I am going back to those core fundamentals. Mm. And I know all the best shooters, you know, Jerry Michalik, you know, Bob Vogel, Taron Butler, it's all the same. It doesn't matter how young or old or, you know, new or experienced you are with any sport, really. I think every sport or activity, you got to go back to the fundamentals and establish that as your base. And then, right, you can always stack on those intermediate and advanced skills on top of that core fundamental.
You know, one of the things that I've enjoyed is you've been able to take what you've done with shooting and then take it many steps beyond, because you are an accomplished media guy. You know, online world, you know, the TV world, you did, you know, the Top Shots and all. And now you've got this new reality show, but the thing I like about it, it's an unscripted reality show. Tell us what this thing is.
Yeah, so I'm really excited to be on a new show called The Go Big Show on TBS, and it is an extreme talent show in the vein of America's Got Talent, but there's no singing, there's no dancing. It's all extreme acts. And what's fascinating is, you know, we've seen the first two episodes, which air on Thursdays on TBS at 9/8 Central, and all of the competitors, it's like apples and oranges, right? We had a strong man, you know, go up against like a cowboy kind of like thing. And, you know, obviously I can't give too much away about, you know, my performance, but I'm going up against someone who's not doing anything remotely close to shooting guns. So it's a great show. We've got Snoop Dogg and Rosario Dawson, Cody Rhodes and Jennifer Nettles, who are the judges,
right.
And then Bert Kreischer as the host. And it's fun. It's really funny. It's also just really extreme. And, you know, you see some of these performances and it kind of makes you sweat, you know, like you're just watching there,
right.
Watching these competitors do some incredibly fun and impressive acts. So the Go Big Show, what I wanted to do for my particular acts was bring an educational angle, you know, entertainment aspect, but also make it very personal. And so the guns that I'm shooting on the Go Big Show, they all have very personal meaning to me. I'll be, you know, talking about the history and why certain guns are important. And then the targets,
cool.
Yeah, that I'm shooting at are a ton of fun. And I really drew a lot of inspiration from Annie Oakley and a lot of other shooters back in the day where, you know, they would travel the country. And
the old exhibition shooters. And they would have crowds of 10,000 people come to see a shooting exhibition.
Exactly. And I think there might be a moment for us to revive that type of storytelling. Because what I hope to accomplish is through my acts, it's all driven by stories, right? In the days of Annie Oakley, right, you have these incredibly fun and captivating narratives where, yes, the gun and the guns are a core part of the story, but it's also about the people, right? It's about people, the firearms, the history, the fun. And so I really, you know, want to wrap all of those different components into my Go Big Show act. So that's what we're going to be seeing. I don't know what episode I'm going to be on.
Oh, okay.
So there's 10, I think there's like 10 episodes. Episode 3 is coming up this Thursday. And again, that's on TBS at 9:30 Central.
At TBS.com, you can find out more about it here. Chris Chang,
exactly.
Thank you so much for being an ongoing ambassador for the shooting sports and for responsible gun owners. We really appreciate it, man.
Thank you, Tom. I really appreciate you and all that you do. And thanks again for having me on today.
Anytime. Look, you got a seat here anytime you want to be here, okay?
Fantastic. Thanks, Tom. Have a good Sunday.
You too. You take care. All right, 866-TALK-GUN. I love the idea of showing a wide audience the positive aspects of responsible and fun and challenging shooting. It's, as you say, it's great storytelling, and then when you can weave it all together and put it together the way that Chris does, I'm looking forward to seeing this thing. 866-TALK-GUN.
Introducing the all-new St. Victor from Springfield Armory. Our versatile line of battle-ready configurations designed for serious shooters and built on the rock-solid St. platform for unwavering reliability. Available in carbine-length rifle, SBR, and pistol configurations, each St. Victor is purpose-built and loaded with features to deliver ultimate performance under extreme conditions. The all-new St. Victor from Springfield Armory. Never a victim. Always the victor.
Perhaps more than any other landscape, wetlands embody the life-giving abundance that nature has to offer. And perhaps more than any other organization, Ducks Unlimited is working to ensure that our continent's wetlands not only survive, but thrive for generations well beyond this one. The time is now to band together. The time is now to rescue our wetlands.
Mental health and guns. At Walk the Talk America, we're working with both the mental health community and the gun industry. Created by a gun industry veteran, Walk the Talk America seeks to raise awareness and create change through suicide prevention and firearm safety without legislation. We strive to eliminate the prejudice that firearms and mental health face. For more information and to support Walk the Talk America, please visit walkthetalkamerica.org.
All right, everything around here is a little bit scientific. let's see. Oh, speaking of that, we're talking about this discovery of putting two sheets of graphene together to make something bulletproof. And now we have New York City. A New York lawmaker is attempting to seize body armor from civilians and would make it illegal to buy the protective gear in the state. A bill from Assemblymember Jonathan G. Jacobson, yes, Democrat, G, go figure, would outlaw the sale and possession of body armor in the state of New York. The bill would require residents who own a bulletproof vest to turn them over to police within 15 days of the bill becoming law. Huh. So you couldn't have something that would protect you. You couldn't. I'm trying to figure out any sort of logic in this. A bill to ban soft body armor. And people say, well, who would have that? I actually know a lot of people who do. A lot of people I know wear it to the range. Just safety issues. Obviously, reporters wear them to demonstrations and riots. I know people who, when they go into a particular city, they have high-end quality soft body armor and they wear it under the shirt and you never would know it's there. Why? Well, why not? What could be wrong with having soft body armor? I mean, are they saying that that's going to tempt people into going and doing something bad? That'd be like saying, well, wearing seatbelts is going to tempt you into driving faster. So we're going to ban seatbelts, which do all this good, because occasionally somebody might somewhere, somehow, do something wrong. Okay, I understand. Yeah, Jim says, yeah. And yet congressmen are requesting body armor because they're important. I understand what's really going on. And you do too, whether you have come up with the actual words for it yet. This is about control. This is about power. If we make you more vulnerable, you must depend upon us. If we remove your ability to protect yourself, then you must depend upon us for your own protection. And we can either give you that protection or we can withhold that protection. And which we do, whether protecting you or not protecting you, may depend upon your compliance with our request or demands. Am I overstating it? Am I overthinking it? I don't think so. Let's go to line five where Dave is with us. He's going to hold me accountable, and that's a good thing here. Hey, Dave, you're up. I screwed up, didn't I?
Well, either that or I missed it. It's possible that I missed it, but I was listening, and I didn't hear it. Last week, just before you went to a break, you said, anybody curious as to what those red stickers were on the handguns that the Capitol Police had in the Capitol building on the 6th? Mm-hmm. And you said that you know what it was, and you'll tell us after the break. And then I didn't hear what they were.
Well, the breaks are 3 minutes long. You don't expect me to remember anything for 3 minutes, do you?
Not at all. And like I say, maybe I missed it too.
No. The only reason you missed it was because I forgot to tell you about it. I'm sorry. I had a couple of people call me out on it on Twitter. Let's back up. The photos that we saw during the storming the Capitol, we had some of the plain clothes, and that's a key part of this story. Plain clothes officers pointing their guns at the rioters. And if you're like me, I'm looking at the guns and going, what kind of gun? Oh, look at that. That's weird. They got a sticker right there on the side of the gun. So you're like me. I'm enlarging the pictures right online and looking at them. And so I go to a buddy of mine who has done this kind of work before in D.C. And he says, oh, yeah. He says, we use those for plain clothes officers in executive protection details, i.e. Secret Service, Capitol Police, those kind of things. The idea is this. If you have a situation, and this all of a sudden this makes all the sense to me, where you got a bunch of people and you got some plain clothes guys, not uniform, and they're drawing guns out. Well, for each other and for the cops who are there, when you see that, your eyes don't go to, a lot of times they wear, like Secret Service, they wear a lapel pin that identifies them as Secret Service. You'll see them wearing that. But in a confrontation, other officers' eyes are not going to go to a lapel pin. They're going to be looking at this gun that just came out. And now all of a sudden they look at the gun, they go, oh, yeah, sticker. Oh, that's one of the good guys. And it's color-coded for the unit or the group or whatever. And so that is a way for them to identify when their guns come out and they're not wearing a uniform that the other officers on the scene know that they're one of the good guys.
Gotcha. That makes a lot of sense. I never would have thought of that.
Well, that's me. I had one of those end top moments. I never thought of that. And then you look at it and you go, well, yeah. And that's why I'm always talking about this kind of stuff, Dave, where that's why I go to people with that kind of experience, and because that's all they do. I mean, look, if you're setting up scenarios and you're training for decades for Secret Service or executive protection details, and you've run these scenarios, and you're having the cops shoot other cops, you know, blue on blue kind of deal in your scenarios where they're using SIMs and everything else. You go, okay, we got to figure out something that's better because the lapel pins are not getting it done. And then you kind of back up and say, well, when somebody pulls a gun and points it at you or someone else, your eyes automatically go right to the gun. Well, let's put the identifying thing on the gun. Went, oh.
Sure. Makes a lot of sense.
Brilliant. So anyway, that's what that was. So there you go. I appreciate the call because it lets me kind of correct a mistake I made there. Because I did get, yeah, Jim says, yeah, it only took you a week. Thanks a lot. Hey, Dave, thank you for the call. I appreciate that. Let's go talk with Tammy for a second out on two. She's on line two out of Sandusky, Ohio. Tammy, how can we help?
Yeah, originally from Portland, but thank you bringing up the Battle of Bataan.
Oh, yes, the Battle of Bataan and the Bataan Death March. Absolutely.
Yeah, correct. And I went to school. That's where I went to school. We worship the men every day. And your constitutional right. So I think it comes down to teachers that don't teach and people that are afraid of guns because they just don't know how to use them.
I think there's a lot of that. There's people that are afraid of them because they don't know much about them, and we tend to fear the unknown. And the more you know about a thing, anything, the less frightened you are of it. But, yeah, and I appreciate you. I don't know why I came up with that idea, but for those who don't know, if you haven't looked up the Battle of Bataan or the Bataan Death March, where the Japanese, and what they did was unconscionable. It was certainly war crimes. And what our servicemen did and put up with and survived. And for us to think, and thank you for the call, Tammy, for us to think that we're going to be inconvenienced by not making phone calls or not going to the legislature or not. I mean, honestly, I think the legislative aide in your senators and representatives' offices should know your voice when you call. Every week or every other week, you're calling. I want to talk to the legislative aide who handles firearms. Hey, I want to talk to you about this particular bill. This thing's coming up. And, of course, for you to be able to do that, you have to know about the bills that are coming up. So that means you have to sign up for the email list of the various gun rights groups. And, yes, that includes the NRA ILA. I think the ILA is still doing a lot of good work. And I hope that the NRA pulls it together and gets it all together and comes back strong, because we need a good, strong NRA. I just don't think the current leadership is capable of doing that. Certainly their track record shows that they, I think, have been more concerned with themselves and their own bank accounts than taking care of us and gun rights. We'll be right back. I don't know. I think revolvers keep coming on strong. I just think maybe the manufacturers aren't cranking out revolvers right now like they have been in the past. Maybe it's just, I think probably they can make semi-autos faster. I'll have to ask one of the manufacturers about that, but I'm just thinking that most revolvers require a fair amount of hand fitting. So, you know, it just takes more time. Oh, speaking of revolvers, the rumor is running around that Colt is being purchased by CZ. I have it on very good authority that that deal has not gone through, but very well may in the next week or so. So it has not happened, but it's very possible that it would. Is that a good thing? What would that mean for Colt? We don't know yet. I would assume they retain the name. It's one of the best known brand names in the world, literally in the world. But CZ also owns Dan Wesson, so they're making revolvers, so maybe they can crank out more product because Colt's been slow on that. And Lord knows people want the Pythons that have been reintroduced. And the new Pythons are very good. Anyway, we'll keep you posted on that as we go along here. 866-TALK-GUN is the number. It's Gun Talk, after all, if you'd like to join us. Oh, yeah, and if you want to follow me on Twitter, I am at Gun Talk over there. I talk about being informed. That's one of the best ways you can be informed. I post links to stories all week long so that you can be informed. It's not me telling you what I had for breakfast. It's, okay, here's an article. Here's a story. Here's a thing that's happening. This is what's going on. And by virtue of the Twitter feed, and I know people say, well, I'm not on Twitter. Oh, okay, I don't know what to tell you. But it's where you can go to get a lot of information. So I am at Gun Talk on Twitter. Let's go to line five. Jim's with us out of Palmer, Alaska. Jim, you sound like you are just a wee bit fed up.
Yes, sir. Late last month, I received a new a membership renewal notice from the NRA.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I did was I didn't fill out, you know, whether I was going to get 1 year or 2 years or whatever. I didn't put a check in there. In the blank space that was next to my name and address, I wrote, I'm not going to buy any more of Wayne's suits. And I stuffed it in the envelope. And then the next thing I did was write out a check for $50 to SAF.
Oh, the Second Amendment Foundation.
Yes, sir.
Well, thank you for helping support SAF, because I think they're doing wonderful work. I understand. Let me back up. For those who don't know what your reference is, it came out that Wayne LaPierre, the executive vice president of the NRA, has been flying in private jets from the East Coast to the West Coast to get fitted at his custom tailor so he can buy these, I don't know, what, hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of suits? I don't know what the exact number is, but it sounds like it's been an awful lot. And, you know, you and I and people are paying $35 a month or a year in dues. And as you say, we don't want our money to go for his private jets. He is taking his family to the Caribbean for vacations or for flying to go get these custom-made suits. Just no more. Now, here's a question I have for you.
Okay.
What, if anything, could the NRA do to get you back?
Well, they got to get rid of LaPierre, and I don't know. I don't know. I'm going to have to see. But you know, this bankruptcy thing now. If that doesn't work, we might not, have that opportunity. So I'm just going to play it by ear.
Yeah, I think that's what we're all doing, is waiting to see what happens. And you know, maybe the NRA is brilliant, and this filing for bankruptcy on Friday, that making that announcement is going to work out, and they're going to move their charter to Texas. My thinking is that they may have been too clever by half, and I think there's a really excellent chance it's going to turn around and bite them in the rear.
Yeah.
In a way that they never anticipated. Or maybe, and maybe this is just because I don't trust most of the people involved, it may bite them in the rear in a way that at least one person anticipated and planned and maybe setting people up. But that's, you know, we will see how this whole thing plays out. But look, I appreciate you not saying I'm going to sit on the sidelines, but saying I'm going to, you know, keep giving money for gun rights and just picking another group. And I think the Second Amendment Foundation is a really good one. Thank you, Jim. I appreciate that. Let's talk to Roseanne in Kansas on 3. Roseanne, thank you for calling back. I appreciate your patience.
Thank you for taking my call.
You bet.
I called because of a remark you made earlier about information. It's your job to get the information. And I'm not sure what that was related to, maybe NRA or some gun legislation. But you also said something, it's not their job to tell you. And it just, I've had so much experience in the last few years of things being done secretively, hiding them in documents, and high secrecy of the weather engineering, things like that. And those definitely affect us. You kind of got into that with the compliance and
Let me explain what I was talking about, okay? The context was people who say, I didn't know that something was going on in the state legislature. I didn't know that they were going to take up gun bills there. I didn't know. If I'd only known, I would have been there. I would have called. I would have written letters. I would have written emails. And my point of all that was, it's no one else's job to inform you or me or each of us what's going on. It's our job. It's our responsibility, our duty to make the effort to know what's going on. And that always leads me to the best way to do that, to know what's going on in your state legislature when it comes to gun rights, is to belong to your state gun rights organization, and if there's more than one, belong to all of them, because they will help keep you informed of what's going on. That was my only point, was that it's up to us to make the effort to inform ourselves rather than hoping that someone will somehow find us and tell us what's going on. Does that make sense?
Of course it makes sense, but once again, they blame the people for not knowing when they're deliberately obfuscating.
No, I agree. You're right. There are powers that be that don't want us to know, and that's why no one person of all of us can know it all. That's why we band together and form these state groups, so that somebody is over there checking their legislature, knowing what's going on. that's the value of having the gun rights groups, because they are doing that work when we're going to work, and then they're letting us know what we need to do. Look, I appreciate the call, Roseanne. Thank you so much. 866-TALK-GUN. Be right back with more Gun Talk.
A passion for shooting and hunting has driven product innovation at Hodgson Powder Company since 1947. Innovations like black powder substitutes, muzzle-loading pellets, and smokeless powder features like anti-copper fouling agents or temperature insensitivity. A family business from the beginning, Hodgson Powder Company is the largest U.S. supplier of smokeless black powder and black powder substitute propellants distributed under the Hodgson, IMR, Winchester, Pyrodex, 777, and GoX brands. Hodgson Powder Company, the gunpowder people.
Attacks happen every day. How will you react? See real people put into real-life criminal attack situations on First Person Defender. Discover what works and what doesn't. Kidnapping, ATM robbery, home invasion, and other attacks. Learn how to save your life and the lives of your family. Get the entire first season on DVD at shopguntalk.com. Get prepared. shopguntalk.com.
Brownells continues its tribute to Eugene Stoner, the legendary designer of the AR-15, AR-180, and more. The What Would Stoner Do 2020 rifle answers the question of what Stoner would have done with modern lightweight materials. Inspired by another Stoner design, Brownells BRN-180 lower receivers help complete firearms optimized for folding stocks or pistol braces. Visit Brownells.com today and pay tribute to one of America's greatest firearm engineers.
Kind of fun. While I'm doing this, I'm having an online conversation, talk about long-range shooting, and I was trying to explain to somebody that they're saying, well, you know, when you get out past a certain distance, bullets drop quickly. I'm thinking, yeah, you know what? You haven't been involved in this much in the last 10 years, because laser range finders have made that part easy, honestly. I mean, you zap the target, you know, it's 350 yards or 750 yards or 722 yards with your laser range finder. And then you pop it into your ballistic computer on your phone, or maybe even on the rangefinder. It maybe is in there. It's got the bullet that you're using and the velocity. And it tells you, dialed this much up, you know, 22 clicks up or whatever the thing is. And then just hold on. You're there. The problem is, I mean, and that's repeatable. The part that's not repeatable is the wind drift, crosswinds. And at a distance of 500, 600, 700, 800 yards, your wind drift to the side can be measured in feet, not inches. And the problem is it can vary from one shot to the next. You could be 3, 4, 5 inches off from one shot to the next. And most of us don't shoot enough at long range to know how to read the wind. The people who are really good at it are magicians. And they'll sit there and they're looking through a spotting scope and they're calling for you and saying, okay, quarter value, half value, hold here. And all you do is you hold the rifle on and pull the trigger and it goes where it's supposed to. It's really the spotter who made that happen. It's wonderful to work with a good spotter. It's just amazing. Rod's joined us on line one out of Cortez, Colorado. Hey, Rod, how you doing?
Yeah, good.
How can I help you?
Well, I have a comment.
Mm-hmm.
What gets lost in this controversy over owning guns or having self-protection is the fact that it's a religious controversy.
Okay.
You have the Christian element on one side, that's the constitutional element, and then you have the authoritarians, the Marxists, on the other side. They're both religious. I was in Europe years ago in Germany, and I learned about the 30 Years' War and the 100 Years' War, mm-hmm. which were wars between Protestants and Catholics. One was more authoritarian than the other. And that went on and on and on. But today, here in the United States, we have two fundamentally different religious views being promoted. Now, the Marxists try to hold the Christians to the principles of Christianity, but the Christians can't hold a Marxist to the principles of Christianity.
Well, I understand what you're saying, and there's certainly an element in all of this that is true. I do believe that. And there's, I think, my biggest takeaway, which, and I appreciate the call, sir, the biggest takeaway is the need to understand history, to read history, to be a student of history. It's not old, musty stuff. History is the study of human nature. For the most part, you could argue, the human nature doesn't really change over the years or even over the centuries. The human nature that was driving the Roman Empire is still the human nature that we have today. And there's no good reason today to be surprised at what people do. We really shouldn't be surprised by any of this, because people are pretty much the same throughout the centuries. People who want power, and they will work hard for it. They will take it from you. And power and money are inextricably connected. You could actually say that almost everything actually really has to do with money. That's, as my wife was teaching social studies and civics, she would always ask the students, you know, so what was really causing that? And they'd say power. She says, yeah, what was power about? Money. Well, it's actually about money. Ultimately. But there are those who do it just for the power. As you study history, we talked about the Bataan Death March. As you study history, what you find is that there have always been people who are willing to do anything, literally anything, to get and hold power. The anything includes OG. Internment of Japanese Americans. FDR should have been impeached and removed from office for that. Would be today, as long as we're talking about impeachment. All of that to say, it's kind of like, okay, yeah, that's great, Tom. What's all that mean? What that means is that if you are not a student of history, you do not know how to react to the events of the day. Let me repeat that. If you don't know your history, you cannot recognize what's going on, nor can you react appropriately to what's going on. If, however, you have studied history, you will see the parallels to what's going on at any given time, not just today, not just this week or month, but at any time. And you go, oh, that's just like the X movement or the Y battle or the Z takeover. You go, oh, I get that. It also gives you a realistic appreciation for the severity of the threat. When they start shutting down your method of communication so you can't get together, so you can't exchange ideas that are not approved. Now, you can exchange ideas that are approved, but the unapproved messages, which they will now call misinformation or disinformation, which really all that means is information which we really don't like and don't want you to be able to share. That is a massive power grab, and for me, that's the thing that's causing me the most concern these days. The ability of big tech, with the approval of the new Biden administration, to shut down our speech. We'll pick that up on the backside. 866-TALK-GUN. All right, back with you here, and so glad to have Michelle Cleland back with us. She spent a couple of weeks with her family. We appreciate her coming back here. If you'd like to chat with her, you can always call us and get on the after show, 866-TALK-GUN. That'll get you in here. I do want to go talk with James in Reno. He's on 5. Hey, James, this is a very interesting idea. Pick up this idea of studying history, if you would.
I love it. I particularly like your comments in regard to the value of studying history. But if you want to get a really good understanding of human nature, particularly at the political level, go back about 500 years to an Italian by the name of Niccolo Machiavelli, who wrote a book titled The Prince.
Yep.
And tell me how much things have changed since he made his observations way back when.
Yeah, in fact, if it's 1513 we're talking about, and I'm looking up on Wikipedia, it says the general theme of The Prince, this is the part that's really key, is of accepting that the aims of princes, such as glory and survival, can justify the use of immoral means to achieve those ends. This is where the ends justify the means. So we can do anything we need to for glory and survival, and in this case, power. You're exactly right. And a lot of people don't, a lot of people, James, have heard of the term Machiavellian, but they may not have heard of his work, The Prince.
Yeah. There's a second book as well called The Discourses, which has equal value.
And this was, they were originally written in Italian and not in Latin, and that was a kind of a break from what was going on at the time. But now, of course, you can read them in English.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And what's interesting is modern social science didn't really start much before the end of the 19th century. And there are some really divergent views that they've come up with, most of which are statistically based, which don't really align all that well with the historical view. So if social policy is made by people who are products of modern social science, it's no wonder that some of the policies come out as, shall we say, less than ideal.
There you go. Exactly my point. If you want to know what's going on today, you must study history because it's all a study of human nature. And actually, I like the idea. It's a very small, short piece, not really even a book almost. It's a treatise called The Prince by Machiavelli. You can find it, probably can find it online, just read it that way. But it's one of those you're thinking, oh, I get it. What they're saying is for us to maintain our power, to maintain our control, we're justified in doing anything. And that's just as true today as it ever has been. Don't believe it? Turn on your TV in a day or two during the inauguration, watch 20,000 National Guardsmen out there. I'm looking at the pictures of them, by the way. Look at all their M4s, AR-15s, M16s, no magazines. Going, really? Are they going to give them magazines? Are they going to give them ammo? Maybe they don't put them in yet. I don't know. But that's disturbing. That's a problem. And oh, yeah, gee, how did that happen? Because some folks on the right thought it was a brilliant idea to storm our U.S. Capitol. We are going to be paying for that for many, many years. If you want to continue the conversation on the after show, call me right now, 866-TALK-GUN. If you have not heard the after show before, you can get it anywhere you get podcasts. If you miss a show, you can find the Gun Talk podcast from now all the way back 15, 20 years, whatever. You just look for it wherever you get your podcast. In the meantime, carry always, get training, keep shooting, keep training, be safe, watch your six, get informed, and get politically involved. We have to now.